One of the reasons I love the scriptures of the Lord is that they're not a textbook. They're not set out like a textbook. Scriptures are not set out subject by subject, but you meet them all in different parts of history. And nowhere is this more apparent than in the prophecy of Hosea. In the 14 chapters of Hosea, it set out wonderfully the pictures of the Saviour's love for men and women and boys and girls. But it's not in order, and it's under the language of loving the nation of Israel. And of course, not all Israel was saved. Though it was an elect nation, not all were elect unto salvation. But we may take all those texts in Hosea that have to do with salvation and the Christian life as personal to us. And we're going to begin with chapter 11, verse 1, which you've heard me already speak about today. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. It is only by calling that we know we're elect. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. We should not be thinking about election unless we're saved and believing the gospel through repentance is how we begin to know, because otherwise we wouldn't have believed. How we begin to know that we are the elect. We don't know that. We are, as the world, under all sorts of wrath, under the wrath of God for our wickedness and evil doing. And there is none righteous, no, not one. But nonetheless, when Israel was a child, if we've come to believe when we were a child, and when unbelievers as yet come to believe the gospel, they will know that when they were children, then the Lord loved them. When I think for myself, and I only say this in order that you may think for yourselves, of the things that happened to me before I was saved, and how many things might have happened in which I would have been killed before I was saved. I had no control over it. I wasn't praying about it. Wasn't interested. I wasn't saved. But yet the Lord kept me till the day I was saved. And maybe as you look back over things of your life, I look back at the war. I look back at bombs landing nearby, of other children who died. But maybe you have similar experiences and you know and feel deeply that when you were a child, before you were a believer, then the Lord loved you. And I was trying to illustrate from Psalm 139 how, as I began to read the Bible, but before I was saved, I found a comfort in the Lord in the fact he searched me and knew me. I never felt that Big Brother was watching me. I never felt that my every move was being marked or a cross against it for bad. The Lord searched me and he knew me. And I found that a comfort, for nothing wrong that I ever did passed him by. I found that useful because I discovered when I heard the gospel preached that these things were from God's love to show me his care of me. When Israel then was a child, then I loved him. As children, as those who have not yet come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but loved by the Lord. And then we move on to chapter 11, and verse 8. And that expression, the beginning of the verse, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Now, Ephraim is just one of the tribes of Israel. And it refers, when we're thinking of personal salvation, to the same person as when Israel was a child. Then I loved him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Now, what's happened? It's like, isn't it? It's like an adolescent. Suddenly they're not dependent any longer. Suddenly they're finding independence. And suddenly they're getting into the wrong company. Now they're discovering things that they want to experiment with that are evil and will only do them harm. Now there is a multiplication of others like them, learning the same things together and all going astray. And the Lord says, how shall I give thee up? So the Lord is not put off by that change in a child. Remember the hymn by Kul Siloam, but soon, too soon, the wintry hour of man's maturer age shall shake the soul with sorrow's power and stormy passion's rage. And as teenagers begin to move into that situation, and as they begin to do things that are not right in the sight of God or man, yet the Lord says, how shall I give thee up? If the Lord gives us up to anything, then there is no hope. He speaks of giving up those who've turned aside in some ways. And if they're left to their own devices, there is no hope for them. The Lord preaches the gospel to adolescents in that stage of their life, when they've begun the wrong pathway, when they've begun the downward path. And certainly in my day, many people were converted at that time. Many people in teenage years could just sense how far wrong they'd gone. Didn't wish to go any longer because the Spirit helped them and turned to the Lord. But Hosea chapter 7 and verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. So the gospel was preached to an adolescent, to a teenager, to a young man, to a young woman, just beginning to go astray. And the Lord says, repent, believe in me, turn away from your sin. When I would heal you, suddenly it came to light just how bad it was. That just the one or two things that you thought were just little things going wrong in your life, suddenly, under the grace of repentance, under the gift of God, revealed itself into a whole flurry of evil that was going on in your life, undercover. Many people didn't know half the things. I look at it as being quite funny now. You know what I'm going to say. But all the time I was at secondary school, I never told my mum about teachers' meetings. I didn't want mum to tell the teachers how bad I was at home, and I didn't want the teachers to, didn't want mum to find out from the teachers how bad I was at school. So I used all my shrewdness to keep them apart. That lay largely in not allowing her to know when the teachers' meetings were. When I would have healed thee, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. Not just the one thing that seems apparent, not just the other, but all the things that human nature is party to. Or the pride, or the lust, or the secrecy. The fulfilling 8 out of 10 of the commandments, but those other 2 were let go to rack and ruin. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. Now, did that put God off? Or was that an appropriate time to discover it? The teenager who hears the gospel, or is older than teenager, or she is, the person who hears the gospel with the preaching that he would be healed, forgiven, restored, given eternal life, then has a battle with the things they know are wrong. Some of them they can discard straight away. But other things have got such a grip on them that they can't break it. Or else, they actually, there are 1 or 2 things that they don't want to break. The rich young ruler who loved his status turned away from the love of Christ. As far as we know, did not go back. But the Holy Spirit speaking through the gospel discovers and makes known to us all our sin. Just at the very time when we would have been healed, there's a lot of other things to be taken into consideration. And we do well to confess them. We do well to be stirred up and say, this isn't right with my life. That isn't right with my life. This isn't right with my life. The iniquity needs to be thoroughly searched out and dealt with. If you have an operation that doesn't deal with the root cause and only with the symptoms, it will soon recur, won't it? And if the preaching of the gospel is only superficial, only believed in a sort of half-hearted sort of way, it won't have any lasting effect. It isn't real. So there is this stage the Lord speaks of, when I would have healed him, then the iniquity was discovered. And there is tremendous iniquity in so many of our hearts. And then in chapter 13 and verse 9, perhaps true of the older sinner, but true of teenagers sometimes too. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. There must be many young people who've sown the seed of madness in their hearts by drugs. There are those who've lost all touch with reality because of drugs. There are those who, because of alcohol, have tripped over the curb and been killed or walked out in front of a car. And there are many other ways that you can think of. But in truth, we have set about our lives in such a way that destruction would be the end. The destroying of our bodies, the destroying of our souls, the shortening of our life. Thou hast destroyed thyself. The way of our own choice. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The thing that we want to do. The thing that our mind appreciates. The thing that our sinful heart wants. And it bids fair to destroy us. But in me is thine help. Here is the Lord pleading. It's got worse still. Thou hast destroyed thyself. So do you think it's all over? Do you think it's too late? Do you think it's nothing that can be done? But in me is thine help, says the Saviour. Turn to me. And that is the preaching of the gospel. But of course, the one who's dead in trespasses and sins can't turn. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's speaking to the heart of one who's destroyed himself and intends to save him, when he says, in me is thy hope, creates that life that will turn to him. And it's expanded, it's wonderfully told of two or three verses later in verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. That doesn't mean that he won't heed repentance. It means that the effect of repentance will be so great that no longer think of that. Just think of the time that here is a believer. Here is someone whose sins have been dealt with. But thou hast destroyed thyself. And then in chapter 6 and verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Or in 14 verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Chapter 14 first. Here is the clear message that we've just seen. Return unto the Lord thy God. You're a sinner. You must turn to the Lord. You've been fair to destroy yourself and ruin your life and ruin other people's life. Turn to the Lord thy God. Whatever stage of sin you are in, turn to the Lord thy God. And then the response in chapter 6, verse 1. Come, says the sinner, and says to fellow sinners, like Matthew, gathered together all the other publicans to hear Jesus. Come, let us return. The call is, come. And the answer is, come, let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn us. And he will heal us. He's made us realize the number of our sins, the complication of our sins, the complexity of them, the great depth of them. He's torn us, but he will heal us. He'll deal with our souls. We didn't care for that inward, most important, eternal part of us, the soul. The soul went along with the body. But he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. So the Lord, so kindly you may think, will bind up. Here is the soul that was loved, went astray, got deeper and deeper into sin, began to love it, began to like it, and even when the gospel was called, was made, they fought against it. But the Lord says, return. And now they say, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. And then last of all, the effect of conversion. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. Well, not exactly the effect, but you'll know what it is. And at the end of verse 10 of Hosea 1, in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it will be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Do you remember that the Lord Jesus said to the man who was so full, legion of evil spirits, go home to your friends, he had friends, notwithstanding. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things I have done for thee. And in that very place where we sinned, among that very community where we were known for going astray and living it up and whatever it was, in that place, that it was said unto them, ye are not my people. Your behavior is completely contrary to the laws of God. You are walking in darkness and under the wrath of God. In that very place where it said, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. So it's where we were brought up, where we committed most of our sins. The people we got involved with, it's among them that the change of life, that the new power will most effectively be shown and magnified. When the Lord redeems someone who was not the Lord's person and says, in that very place you are the Son of the living God, then the people round about will see. The people round about will know. The work will be public. The work will bring him all the glory. We cannot escape by hiding. Go to another place. There are people who've committed such awful crimes that when they come out of prison, their identity has to be kept secret and they have to be put away in a safe home miles away. And should it get out who they are, they'd have to be moved again. But when we become Christians in that very place, we shall be called the sons of the living God, even where we sinned, even in our family. I well remember my auntie who lived with us when I went home and said I'd become a believer. She simply growled at me, charity begins at home. That's all I got. But when the home begins to see what the Lord Jesus has done in our hearts, then the family will react, either in complete hostility, or they'll accept that a real work of grace has begun. So the Lord loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The Lord said as he looked at our messed up lives, how shall I give thee up? And when he made it clear by the preaching of the gospel that he would heal, then were thousands of other sins discovered. And in some cases it was so bad that people had destroyed themselves, suicidal, depressed, whatever. But turn unto me is his message. Turn unto the Saviour. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And though you live in the same place, the same neighbourhood, same family, it will be known in that very place where you were not his person. You will then be the son, the daughter of the living God. The gospel is the most wonderful thing on earth. Amen.